to the Wedding 101 podcast. Hello, my name is David Rothstein. This program was designed to be a helpful resource to the brides, grooms, as well as wedding professionals. It was created to give listeners real insights from the top wedding professionals in the nation. Each new show features a wedding professional from a different aspect of wedding planning. Photographers, caterers, wedding planners, florists, venues, and many more. These interviews will give you lots of great ideas how to get the best results for your wedding. Wedding vendors can also learn from fellow professionals. If you have an idea for a topic or guest, please let us know, and we hope you enjoy today's podcast. And today's show, we actually have two new special guests that we are really thrilled to have here. And this is something, a subject that is certainly important to everybody, and especially those that are planning their wedding. It's about being fit and really looking your best for your wedding. And so we have two great fitness trainers here today that are going to give us some real insights of some ways of really looking our best. And before we get started with the interview, let's do a little quick background for each of them. The first person we have is Erin Beggs. And Erin has always been interested in fitness and had struggled with a long history of her weight going up and down. And about 12 years ago, she hit 200 pounds and knew she needed to have a change. She successfully kept off 50 pounds and enjoys the fact that her and her husband can share workouts together. They had a personal trainer when they first met, and that was where she really realized that she wanted to pursue fitness as a career, not just a hobby. Her trainer, Victoria, told her to go for it, and she wouldn't be disappointed. Erin went ahead and got her GFI certification through ASC and has been an instructor for LA Fitness since August of 2014. She started with two classes a week and then eventually dropped her desk job to pursue it as a full-time career. Erin says that is, without a doubt, the best choice she has ever made, aside from moving to Chicago and marrying her husband, who she met here. So welcome to the program, Erin.
Thank you for having me.
And we also have Bill Coyne, who is actually my personal trainer. And let me tell you a little bit about Bill. Bill is a trainer and strength coach here in Chicago. He is a certified fitness trainer through ISSA. And Bill works with clients of all backgrounds and abilities, from people simply looking to improve their health to athletes in need to improve in their on-field performance. In addition to his work as a trainer, he has competed in powerlifting and strongman contests for 10 years. So welcome to the program, Bill.
Pleasure to be here, David. Thanks for having me.
Great. And let's get started because certainly fitness is something that we all need on a daily basis, and it's a big part of our lives. And especially when people having a wedding coming up 6 months, a year from now, they really want to look their absolute best on that day. And let's go into some ways that people can really jump into that and get the best results as quickly as possible. And one of the things that I think a lot of people struggle with is deciding, do I just join a gym and just kind of jump into it? Or is it better for me to actually hire a trainer? And what would you say are some of the advantages of having a trainer as opposed to just getting a gym membership and working out on your own?
I mean, it's hard enough with my client schedules as they are. None of them are prepping for a wedding, but I see how many hours they put into their job and their regular lives. I can't imagine how much extra time would go into planning for a wedding. So the biggest thing is with a trainer, all the guesswork gets taken out of it. So all the time that you have to put into planning your workouts and not only to finding time for it, the accountability aspect is a huge part of it, because when you're planning a wedding, it's going to be really easy when you're putting all those hours into planning for it and making all the decisions to throw that by the wayside. So having that trainer there really helps with accountability and staying on top of your fitness and reaching those goals for your wedding day.
I think that's really true, because when you say at Wednesday at 11 o'clock, you know your trainer's going to be there. So there's not a possibility of being like, oh, well, I'll just go tomorrow, or I'm just go next week or something. So it saves time in the sense that you're first of all are accountable, but also saves time in the sense of doing all this research kind of on your own and trying picking and choosing, where your trainer has got everything laid out. So you just have to follow their lead and you're going to get twice the results in a third of the time.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. And what are some of the factors you take into consideration when you're putting together a workout routine for your clients?
Well, their prior training background is going to have a lot to do with it. The people that have been athletic in their past, that grew up playing sports, they're more comfortable with moving around. They'll typically make progress faster just because they've They know the movements. They know how to push themselves a little harder. And then basic medical background as well. And then the goals also. Not everybody's going to have the same goals. Some people don't need to lose a ton of weight. They just want to kind of tone up, look a little bit better. But then you will have a lot of people that do need to, that want to drop a few pounds in order to fit into their wedding dress or that tuxedo.
And what about factors like age or if they have like some injury with their back or if they have certain other, if they have specific goals, some are weight loss, some really want to just really beef up and try to gain as much muscle as possible. I mean, what are some of the other factors that you look at as well?
Yeah, that all comes into account. Prior injuries or current injuries maybe. I mean, obviously if there is a current injury, that needs to be the first priority, is to rehab that before you can really push anything else. And then once that's cleared up, again, yeah, age, any kind of current activity, prior activity, obviously looking at the diet, seeing what that looks like as well is huge. So there's a lot of different factors, a lot of individual differences to really take into account.
And what I like about working out with Bill is that he has the ability to adapt to what's going on and what things are really working for results for one reason or another, that is not just going through this certain formula. And I think the best trainers have that kind of flexibility, because I had some back problems about 6 months ago, and we adjusted our workout to really address those that situation, and it really made a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you need a game plan, you need a goal, but at the same time, if the plan is super rigid, you're not going to be able to account for those little things that come up, those bumps in the road, which are really inevitable.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to fitness in anything in life. You really have
absolutely
to adjust to what's going on.
Especially when you have a big event coming up like a wedding. I mean, there are 1,000 things that can go wrong, and if something can go wrong, it will go wrong, and you need to be able to account for that. So that's kind of, that's again, going back to the advantage of having a knowledgeable trainer, is that they will keep you accountable, but then at the same time, they're also going to be able to make the adjustments for you when those little impediments come up.
Great. And Erin, as a married woman, you know how hectic it is to be planning a wedding. What are some of the realistic things brides can do to stay and get in shape during the wedding planning process?
Well, I think it really depends on what they want to achieve. I think it's important to make realistic goals for yourself, make a weekly goal for yourself, make a monthly goal for yourself. How much time do you have and what are you hoping to achieve? Mm-hmm. Because if someone has 2 years, they have ample time. You know, Bill's just talking about slip-ups, because that always happens. Make something reasonable and attainable for yourself. You know, when I was planning, I had like 6 months, and I knew that it was easy to be able to set, well, I want to drop 5 pounds, and I want to stick to working out 3 to 5 times a week, because I knew that was realistic for me. So I think every bride needs to think about what is going to be realistic for them. If someone who hasn't been working out for a while, they should make it work out once or twice a week, 30 to 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. That is totally reasonable. And then if you achieve that, build from there.
Yeah, I think that's important, to find something that's realistic and comfortable, so that
you're
not going to go from 250 pounds to 150 pounds, and you've got enough stress with putting the whole wedding together.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's important to really be able to enjoy the process too and have fun with it.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
And over at LA Fitness, where you're doing a lot of classes now, that's a thing that I think has really caught on a lot, the classes. And what are some of the advantages maybe of taking a class versus doing individual training?
Well, it's good because you can play around and you can try out a cycle class. You can try out a boot camp class, a strength training class. I'm just like rattling off all the things that I teach. There's also yoga, Pilates. Like if someone is a runner, they're probably going to try something like boot camp. But if someone is a couch person, they're probably not going to be that interested in trying out a boot camp right off the bat. But there's so many things that you can try out, and there's so many, we have this great advantage of living in Chicago. There's so many clubs that you can try, just as like a soul cycle or anything like that. It's really awesome to be able to try something new and there's a million things that you can try.
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter necessarily what the class is. It's just got to be something that you enjoy.
Yes.
That's going to benefit what you, because if you don't enjoy it, and you start to associate like, oh, I got to go to this class.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's good to try a variety of different things, like you said.
It's definitely. Really see what you love.
And if someone hasn't been working out for a while but wants to lose weight for their wedding, what are some of the first things that they need to take into consideration before hiring a trainer or start taking some of the classes on a regular basis?
I think you need to look at your schedule. Like, how much time do you have available to put forward to this thing that you're trying to achieve? Like, how much time in your day can you take away? Do you have an hour? Do you have 2 hours? Once you figure that out, you can figure out how much time you'll be able to allot to going to a class or hiring a trainer. Also, I think if you haven't been to the gym in a couple of years, you should check with your doctor and make sure you're not going to be having health issues, or if you have any kind of injury, an old injury like a knee or hip, make sure that you get that checked out first, like Bill was saying too.
And I think it's also, before you do any of the HIPAA training, you really have to get your head together and really believe that you're doing this because you really want to do this, not because somebody's telling you to do it. And you have to have the motivation. Maybe it is your wedding, or maybe it is just your life. You just want to feel better and have more energy. And what are some of the main benefits for exercise in general?
Yeah, I mean, just overall improved quality of life is great. That's definitely the biggest factor above all else. It can go off on all kinds of reasons as far as preventing hypertension, diabetes, all kinds of sort of end-of-life diseases that tend to pop up. Regular physical training and then a good diet goes a long way in preventing a lot of those chronic illnesses. The other thing, too, is just like improve confidence, like especially when it comes to weddings. I mean, if you look good, you're going to feel good, especially when you're standing in front of a room full of, you know, possibly hundreds of people. You're definitely going to want to feel good as well as, you know, and that's a lot of that's going to come from look good, the confidence that your body gives you.
And it affects really everything in terms of your sleep, how your clothes fit you, like you said, your self-confidence.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think we live a little bit in the reactionary kind of world with just take a pill for this, just take a pill for that, where a lot of the stuff, if we were proactive about it initially, we wouldn't have to be so reactionary. And like, now I've got this disease. Well, had we gone back a few years ago and kind of done the work and everything like that, maybe we would have a lot less of that. But I think everybody lives, or our society is kind of based on living in a reactive, I'm going to do what I want now. And then maybe we'll deal with the consequences of eating this triple cheeseburger dipped in chocolate and a little bit later. So I think the more we can kind of make it part of our lifestyle and not just something that's necessarily like, oh my God, the doctor said if I don't lose 50 pounds or 100 pounds, I'm going to die, or you have to take these pills the rest of my life.
So. Absolutely. And that goes back to what you were saying earlier, David, where it's just the mental aspect of it is so huge, and just really making that commitment and being proactive about it as well. You know, thinking about, okay, what am I really going to gain from eating this pizza, you know, now versus long term? Well, it's like, oh, I'm going to enjoy it now, but I know as soon as I'm done, I'm going to really regret it, and it's going to go along. It's really going to hurt my progress in hitting my fitness goals. So that's, yeah, you just got to really commit to it. That's the biggest part.
And temptation is really everywhere, isn't it?
Oh, all over the place, of course, yeah.
Yeah. And Aaron, talk to me a little bit about, I know a lot of images for women, there's a lot of pressure to look fantastic in all these magazines and TV shows. And I think a lot of women do feel a lot of pressure to look the certain way.
Absolutely.
And I think not everybody, and this certainly applies to men too, are born with those kind of genetics, or just don't have the genes or the drive to look that way. So what advice would you give to somebody in terms of like being comfortable with their own bodies and stuff?
Well, there's a lot of really great things coming out lately, like something that I follow, Healthy is the New Skinny. I mean, you don't have to look like one of those people, one of those models in a magazine, because like you're saying, that's not really realistic. And I I'm one of those people too, you know? Do what makes you feel good. Wear clothes that make you feel good, and don't worry about what anybody else thinks except for yourself. You have to look in the mirror and you have to like what you see, and you need to get in that mindset. And I think once you get to fitness, it really helps you, like you were saying, Bill, about confidence. It builds your confidence. And you just have to know that you're doing what you're doing to make you feel good.
One of the things that's certainly easiest is drinking a lot of water. Maybe you guys can talk a little bit about the importance of drinking a lot of water in your daily daily routine.
Yeah, absolutely. And daily water intake is largely going to depend on the activity levels and, of course, summertime. If you're doing a lot of work outside, if you're doing your workout, say, out on the beach, you're running or biking down on the lakefront trail, you're going to want to consume a lot more water than if you're taking a rest day, for example, if you're doing no physical activity. You know, the general guideline is the eight-ounce glasses of water throughout the day. That's a pretty good starting point, but really just kind of go by feel. You know, if you're feeling dehydrated, a little thirsty, then definitely get some water in your system. But at the same time, you don't need to be slamming down liters of water throughout the day just to maintain adequate hydration levels.
And speaking of drinks, what do you think about stuff like something like you know, some of the pops and some of the things that kind of masquerade themselves as these quote-unquote healthy things, or things that are sugar-free, stuff like Red Bull and some of the other things that are out there, monster drinks that are very tempting because they do give you that big rush. But what kind of an effect do those types of drinks have on your body?
Honestly, I think stuff like that is poison for your body, especially, I mean, sugar-free used to be like such a big fad, but now it's coming up as, wow, you really shouldn't be having anything sugar-free because it's just processed nonsense that your body doesn't need. When in doubt, just drink water. But yeah, I would definitely stray away from anything that has a commercial like that, because it's not going to be good for you.
Absolutely. It's the same rule that applies to food. The fewer ingredients, the better. So something as simple as coffee or tea for a pick-me-up as opposed to a Red Bull, it's a far better decision in the long run, without a doubt.
And one of the things in our workaholic kind of society, and I certainly struggle with this myself, is getting enough sleep. And I think since, thanks to Facebook and working, being workaholics and everything like that, it's easy to have this never-ending kind of technology access that I think does affect sleep sometimes. And tell me a little bit about some tips maybe that people can do to get a better night's sleep, and how to the importance of having sleep as far as fitness.
One thing I know you and I have worked on, or something you've done, David, is just removing as many electronics from the bedroom as possible, especially now with smartphones. There's so much time that you can kill and so many temptations, you know, just available right there on your phone. You know, you're browsing through Facebook, you're looking through YouTube, and all of a sudden you look, it's midnight, and you've lost an hour or two of quality sleep you could have gotten. So really, it's you know, same goes with diet. Remove as many temptations as you possibly can. So keep them away out of your bedroom as much as you can. Charge them in your living room, in your bathroom. If you need an alarm clock or an alarm in the morning, try to just use a digital or an analog clock in order to do that. That's probably number one thing you can do to really try to get some more sleep.
Okay. And nutrition is certainly a big part of weight loss, and we plan on having an actual nutritionist come in and talk about some different things. But I want to ask each of you, what are some of the top five foods or ingredients that people should really avoid? And one of the big things, for me at least, is bread. And when you sit down at a restaurant, what's the first thing they do is they give you this whole giant loaf of bread and this incredible spread or butter. And to me, once I started avoiding bread, to me, made a big difference for me and stuff. So maybe you guys can talk about some of the five top foods that that people should really avoid.
I think, like you were saying, not just bread, but carbs in general. And I'm not talking about like carbs from sugar, excuse me. But I mean, we do have an excess of everything that has carbs in it.
Right.
And we just don't need it. Your body does not need it at all. You can get all the carbs you need from other things. But high fructose corn syrup, things that have too many ingredients, if it has 5 ingredients or less, that is good. If you can't spell it or pronounce it, you should not be eating it.
Yeah, it's like you're taking your eye test. L-J-W-Y, like...
Exactly.
You're just making up these words,
aren't
they?
What is that?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Phenylalanine? I don't even know, yeah. You know? And then overly processed foods, because everything seems like it's processed. Whatever happened to, like, a piece of fruit or just, you know, like a carrot or a pepper? Mm-hmm. Everything's processed, it seems like. So anything else that I missed that...
Yeah, but the big point is that, of course, the simpler the better, but processed sugars, I mean, sugar just seems to be in everything nowadays. Trans fat seems to be another big one. And the bread we went over. Alcohol is another big one, too. I've seen with a lot of people where we'll kind of experiment to where we cut it out of their diet for a month. And even with that little variable taken out, we've seen some pretty good results. So we'll lose a few quality pounds while still making some progress in terms of strength gains in a pretty short amount of time. We touched on this a little earlier, but other flavored drinks as well, and that goes for energy drinks. Depending on what you drink, like a regular Red Bull, for example, has a ton of sugar in it, say with Monsters.
Right.
And then even the sugar-free ones aren't the greatest. So that just goes back again, the simpler the better when it comes to food and beverages.
And when setting fitness goals, how detailed do you need to be in order to be effective? Do you need to say, okay, by this date, I want to be this particular weight, or I want to have this kind of waist by this measurements by June 1st or whatever it is? Or is it just a matter of just consistently doing the workouts and letting that kind of take care of itself? Does it need to be a measurable thing?
Well, I think that when setting any kind of goal, you need to follow the acronym SMART, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based. So whatever goal you're setting, I mean, if you say, like you were just saying, well, by this date, I need to be this weight. Well, that's setting yourself up for possible disaster because, like, slip-ups happen and...
Yeah.
You might be thinner, but just based on the weight, it has not very specific. So I think if you follow that acronym with any goal setting, you're going to set yourself up for success.
And the more specific, the better as well. Something that's advantageous about a wedding is that you do have a specific day. I've even heard of some brides getting a dress one or two sizes too small so that they are forced to slim down.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Even going so far as to do that. Mm-hmm. And of course, then that's certainly measurable if you have an outfit that you can't fit into, say, in January, and then come August you can fit into it. That's certainly measurable progress. The more specific, the better. But at the same time, there is something to be said for just saying, you know, want to lose weight and then putting in hard, consistent work over a long period of time.
And it's also tricky because standing on a scale can be a dangerous thing. Because let's say maybe you did lose a bunch of weight and you're like, oh, okay, great. I can relax a little bit. Or maybe you worked out a ton and it only shows that you lost 3 pounds, but you've actually reduced a lot of your fat and you've gained a lot of muscle because you've told me many times that muscle does weigh more than fat.
Absolutely.
So, so it's... The scale is certainly a dangerous way of measuring. It is certainly a tool for that, but I think it's important to get the right mindset for what that actually means for you.
Exactly. And like we mentioned earlier, not all brides need to lose a lot of weight, but of course, plenty want to look better. And so that doesn't necessarily mean dropping weight. You know, that could just mean adding a little bit of lean tissue, some muscle. Mm-hmm. That'll go a long way in improving your physique, not necessarily just dropping pounds.
Definitely. I mean, I've actually like gained weight, but my clothes fit better since I started adding more classes, because I started at 2 and I have 10 permanent classes now, and a lot of them are strength based, which I've gained weight but lost inches since my wedding. So, I mean, like you're saying, the scale does not always the best tool to use. Use your clothes, use how you feel, use your energy level, use people saying, wow, you look great. Because a lot of people are going to say that once you start a fitness regime.
Since there's a lot of information out there, a lot of misinformation, certainly, what would be some of the blogs, websites, or fitness experts that you guys look to in order to keep up with fitness trends so you're up to date with the best workouts for your classes, for your clients? Are there some particular places that that people should go to that are reliable and you think are really helpful?
For me personally, I try to stick to the primary sources. So keeping up with the latest textbooks, I surf through PubMed a lot, trying to stay on top of any kind of new research that's coming out. That's where I get a lot of my information, what I base a lot of my practices off of. For others that don't have the time or really the energy to, dive into the hardcore sciences, there's a lot of the major publications. Men's Health seems to be taking a turn for the better with putting out some more useful and reasonable information. But the general guideline is that, if it sounds too good to be true, then it probably is too good to be true.
Exactly.
Kind of just glossing over it, think to yourself, well, does this make sense? Is this a rational approach to training? And that will go a long way in cutting out what works from what doesn't.
I like to follow Sean T on Facebook because he always puts out like videos, and I always get a lot of really good workouts from his like Insanity, and that's seems to be a really popular thing that people like. And Pop Sugar Fitness pops out a lot of videos too, and it's always women who are doing it, so I think that's good for me. I do have men who come to my classes too, but there's always ways to bump up the exercise or to take it down a level for people who might be a little older coming to class or not as high of a fitness level, but I like to follow those. And also I get a magazine every month from my ACE certification, so they always have amazing things in there too. And I try to search for new workouts every day. I'm always searching Pinterest, or there's lots of really great things on there too.
Great. So there's a lot of information out there, but it's important to look at it with a little bit of skeptical eye in terms of and trust the resources that a lot of times the companies have the least to gain from you watching their videos.
Right.
I think that's what in general. Absolutely. Also for wedding planning too, in terms of trusting sources. Very briefly, tell me some of the biggest differences between training a woman versus a man.
For me, it's really the mental aspects. I mean, there's nothing that's significantly different in how we're really going to approach, because what works, and there's not a significant difference in terms of anatomy and physiology to warrant like a radically different training approach to the sexes. So, but a lot of it is the mental side. Like, different things motivate men from what motivate women. And so that's where the real differences come in, not so much in the training protocols themselves.
Like he was just saying, my husband and I, when we had a trainer, he would have heavier weights than me, but we'd both be doing the same workout. Like, I really love to do HIIT training, high intensity interval training, because it's fast and it's effective and it's done the most good for myself and for my husband. And even I implement that in my classes too, not just in boot camp, but in spinning as well. And I think it works great and people seem to love it. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Great. As we're getting close to kind of towards the end here, I had one quick question, because a lot of people do travel with their jobs these days, and it's certainly easy to be taking classes with Aaron or to be training with Bill at the gym here at my building. But when people are traveling and you're staying in some, Toledo or something, what are some ways of staying in shape? Because once again, eating on the road can be a challenge. And then also being able to get your workouts in. What are some ways that you would advise for people to travel a good bit?
The best place to start is with just some basic bodyweight movement. Something as simple as just trying to crank out a handful of push-ups, as many as you can, mixed with some bodyweight squats. That's far better than doing nothing. Doing something's always going to be better than doing nothing. And you're seeing a lot more hotels now that have fitness centers with a decent selection of equipment. So just utilize what you have available. and know that even though it's not going to be perfect, don't let that get in the way of you still pursuing your goals and at least getting something done when you can.
Okay, and the very last question, and what are some of the myths associated with exercise and weight loss?
Well, I know that people are always interested in spot training or spot reducing. That's not possible. You are going to lose weight everywhere, even though you might say, well, I just really don't like my midsection. Well, I understand that, and that's a lot of people's problem area. So you have to do the fitness as well as the nutrition side, and that will also help because abs are made in the kitchen, not just the gym. Mm. So,
great advice. And Bill?
I'd largely agree. That's a huge one. You're not going to get great arms just from doing nothing but arm work, you know, right. And especially neglecting the diet. I think the other thing too is just making sure that the emphasis is largely on diet and that doing hours upon hours of exercise is going to necessarily translate into a better physique.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's the overall lifestyle you guys are talking about with sleep and having drinking enough water and, of course, nutrition as well as all the workouts
definitely.
As well.
Of
course. Great, great, great. Well, we'd like to thank you guys for being such great, enthusiastic, and experts to helping us on the show today. So big thanks to Aaron and to Bill. Thanks for being on
thank
the show.
You.
Thank you, David.
And I'd like to give you their contact information. If you would like to train with Bill, you can contact him at 817-929-5590. That's 817-929-5590. And you can email him, Bill at Kratos Strength Systems. And that's Kratos StrengthSystems.com. And we'd also like to, if you'd like to get a hold of Erin and take some of her classes, she teaches 10 classes a week at LA Fitness, which is at 1804 West Lawrence, and also at 6107 North Broadway. She teaches boot camp, cycle, bodyworks classes. You can find the online schedule at www.lafitness.com. You can also email her, which is at Erin Cullen, ErinCullin at gmail.com. And thanks again for having us. And we wish all the best for all your weddings out there. And hopefully you've learned a lot about fitness. I know I have. And if you do need any great live music, we'd love to provide you with that. We have a great live music company, David Rothstein Music. Our website is drsmusic.com. And you'll be able to listen to this show as well as all the other podcasts and previous shows that we've done previously. So thanks again for listening. We want to wish you a very happy, authentic, and fit wedding. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you all again soon. Thank you.
Ooh, got the show about the weddings. There's a show about it. Got the show about the weddings.